Let's pray. Let's Judges 12 tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the record of really your record, your record of your faithfulness to your people. We ask tonight to learn and be taught by your Holy Spirit. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Judges 12. All right. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passed thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and did not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. We begin tonight's study with a reminder that these things are written that we might learn not to live like the world around us. And scripturally, these things are written for our admonition. Now listen to this phrase, upon whom the end of the ages have come. We've been taking a particular view to the things that can be learned out of the book of Judges, especially related to living in the last days, that in these latter times, the Holy Spirit has expressly declared that there will be trouble, there will be perilous times, and that there will be a falling away from the faith. And describing it to us tonight in the context of what happened for Jephthah and a bit of entry into his life. Remember that his name means him who God sets free, or he opens, or he, the idea of he had, when God called him and then he led Israel for 6 years, the Spirit of God came upon him. And I need to remind you, he suffered greatly. Through the course maybe of his own lack where he made that vow. And then so he lost his daughter. And now the men of Ephraim want to come and fight with him. He's just had a great victory over the enemy. It's very important for us. I think especially in the context as we would study this tonight for our learning. Now, what I want to remind you of is that we've been given Romans 12 as a church to be genuine church. It's been a bit since I've refreshed that for all of us. And I'm going to refresh it tonight in this context because it seems like everything's kind of pulling apart in the world. In fact, I think it's by design, whether you call it biblically, like things are being shaken. So we have to be okay with that. And it's God's hand to shake everything, so that which remains is immovable, right? Stronger, will not be shaken away. And I'm watching this, and again, to set your eye to the view of remaining, continuing, abiding, staying, keeping, right, that part of what we've been taught by the Lord. And I remind you, we need the Holy Spirit in these days. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us. We need the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide. And in the context, I'll say this, we need his wisdom for our conduct. Okay? We need his wisdom for our conduct. Because right now, everything in the world is designed for you to be warring and fighting against the people you love, which is Satan's work. And again, I only say that in the context of the men of Ephraim, they're brothers. You look at chapter 12. They come up and they gather and go northward to Jephthah. And they're angry. How do I know they're angry? Well, turn with me back to Judges 8, verse 1. You might recognize these guys. And maybe you recognize them because it's been you. Maybe you've been in a fight or two with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You got to make that right. Men of Ephraim said unto him, Gideon, why hast thou served us thus? Thou called us not when you went to fight against the Midianites. And they did chide him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison to you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. What was I able to do in comparison to you? And then that last phrase, their anger was abated toward him, and when he had said that. So estimated dates, about 90 years, 100 years separate these two. Second time around for the men of Ephraim. Now, what am I getting at for us tonight? Well, maybe the context is this, right? James 4:1. Let's turn over there. We need to learn this one. So as you find James 4:1, just glance back with me at 3:13. Remember, the numbers were added later. They were not, you know, they were not a part of this. Like chapter 4 doesn't begin something new. It's a continuation. James 4:1 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Now again, if we're going to learn from this one, Jephthah is going to have war and fighting now with his brothers, right? James 4:1, where do wars and fights come from among you? The answer is your desires for pleasure that war in your members. Now, great verse. Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? And then glance back at 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works done with the meekness of wisdom. Now, when we studied Judges 8 and with Gideon, Gideon answers and he puts all that off. But listen, the men of Ephraim are not corrected. Okay? They repeat again. And as we open this up, I think it's important enough to hear this. If you have, this is 3:14 of James, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. Now, I open this up tonight and I'm looking at the study of the children of Ephraim coming to Jephthah, and this explains it. Why didn't you call us when you went to defeat the enemy? Right? They weren't used by God. Somebody else had victory, and now they're coming back to talk, and now they're even threatening Jephthah. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, I've been exhorting and encouraging us along these lines to know the fellowship that we have in the Spirit. You must be born again. That's really what this is about. It's not about where you go to church. It's not about if you go to church. In fact, I've been asking when you're out sharing the gospel and meeting people and you're inquiring and they say that they go to church, I'm asking you to press one step in further to find out if they have the Spirit of God, if they're born of Him. Now, why I say that is because we need the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to put this seed of thought into your mind tonight because we can talk it in the context of wisdom from above or wisdom from below. Okay? I'm not here to admonish, correct the men of Ephraim or admonish and correct Jephthah. But I want to learn from them so that we can have that admonition into our lives so that can be, well, it can be taught. We can learn that. If you have bitter envy and strife, you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. We'll learn from this, because as James then describes, where do wars and fights come from among you? And I think this is probably one of the best things we can take to heart tonight, is to identify when we're envying, striving. I'll give you the other terms: contention, jealousy, retaliation, revenge. That describes what the children of Ephraim, the men of Ephraim, repeat second time around. Okay, been here before. I think it's important enough for us to hear this. And so this idea of calling, burning their house upon thee with fire. Now, they never said that to Gideon, right? But this comes right down to, why didn't you call us? That's a repeated phrase, but we're going to burn you with fire. They're threatening, and he's already suffered loss. And where do wars and fights come from among you? Now, listen up on this angle that I'm going to bring to you now. God chose Jephthah. I can't even say that any of us would have been friends with him, necessarily. In many ways, you might describe him as a sharp sword in the arsenal, if you will, or the weapons of God. And even his vow, and again, even in that place where having made that vow, that it even cut right into his very family. And I don't know that the men of Ephraim liked him, but God used him. This is preparation. We're going to get on to the next judge that we'll study in detail will be Samson, and he's a head scratcher. Like, how could God use a man like Samson? But it's kind of this context for Jephthah. And this is important. Jephthah is doing what God told him to do, what God showed him to do. The Spirit of God came upon him. Great victory, great power, called to fight the enemy. And the more that he does what God wants him to do, the less his brothers like him. You're hearing this now. So, our part, right? We're called to grow up this year, to be mature, to understand that God uses different people for different reasons, different instrumentation to accomplish maybe things you can't even stomach. That I don't know what you would do to spend a day with Wes Bentley, with far-reaching ministries, when he has to make some of the decisions he has to make, knowingly sending his men into a war zone. Now, why I describe that is in this all-out warfare that the children of Israel found themselves in, great victory, personal suffering and loss, Jephthah misunderstood, and his brethren don't like him. His Bible studies just don't comfort and love enough, maybe. I don't know what that would be. But it's time for us to apply. I'll give you the context. It's 1 Corinthians 12. There's differences of ministries. There's differences of the gifts of the Spirit. There's a diversity of the activities. And our part is not to fight with our brothers, fight with our sisters. Our part is to have, like, if you catch this, they have the Spirit. That's been our criteria. The resemblance is the same Spirit in you is in my brother. That's really what Paul writes to the Corinthians when he describes to them that he says, you look into this, you're going to find out that I belong to Christ. And really, as he describes that, they don't like what he's saying to them. In fact, we'll get onto this when we finish the study in Corinthians. The more that he loves them, the more that he does what God calls him to do, the more affection that he shows the Corinthians, the less he's loved. And this is the nature, again, that James warns us about: wisdom from above versus wisdom from below. Wisdom from below will again, envy, strife, contentions. Again, it's fleshly. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. And again, I've been calling us, and I'm just going to remind you of something for me, right? I am called to shepherd the flock of God among us. That's my calling. I'm not teaching other people the Word of God. I'm not here trying to correct what others are not doing, or what God uses them for. I'm just us, not to war and fight among us with others who have the Spirit, who God might be using in a different way. And it's to have that awareness rather than to, well, he just doesn't this and he just doesn't that. It's time to also apply James' words, not to speak evil of one another, brethren. Now, when we come to this study, and one place more I need to turn, because I think our valuable lesson really is found in this phrase that Jesus our Lord said. So you're dealing with contention, envy, jealousy, retaliation, revenge. And it comes to this thought in Luke 9. There's this underlying pressure for a pastor to make the Bible relevant to today. And I'm like, I don't know how you read your Bible, but I read my Bible. I'm the one who's irrelevant. Right? Today is irrelevant in the relevance and who God is and what he's accomplishing. Because I really believe the kingdom of God is coming. I really believe that that's an everlasting kingdom. I really believe Jesus will have 1,000-year reign here on earth. Now, when I describe it in that way, you want to talk relevance, it's we need Jesus. Okay? Now, he, in Luke 9, teaching, again, imparting to his disciples, and Holy Spirit imparting it to me today in this context. And since I'm only seeking to shepherd the flock of God that's among me, I'm not thinking, you know, so-and-so needs to hear this Bible study. We need this Bible study. Luke 9:51. Let's see. Came to pass when time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Sent messengers before his face. They entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 53. They did not receive him. Now, this reality, okay? We have to be able to, if you're not received by others in the body of Christ, okay? You do understand that could very well happen, and especially heading into some more trouble that the world's going on. If you don't know what I'm saying, just take, for example, if you wore a mask or did not wear a mask, right? That may have caused you not to be received, or for you, like, well, should we receive them when the whole world was going through their trouble? Again, so why I say it in this context, they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah and Del did? No, Elias did. Elias, that was your nickname. Elias. Now, let me lay this out for you. The question right here, 55, this is what sticks into me tonight. He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now, this is what I'm taking from Judges 12 tonight. What spirit of manner of spirit are we? Well, I'll take you to 56. This is the spirit that's in Christ Jesus, that he can rebuke his disciples for wanting to call fire down on heaven upon the Samaritans. The context of Elijah calling down fire is when they were going to go seek another God. I think if you catch enough of that, James and John are sort of flexing their Bible knowledge. They've been doing Bible studies. Oh, we know about Elijah. The Samaritans, they worship and serve another God. That's the context of they inquire of a different God. And they don't. They're not at all like the Jews, but they're not inquiring of a different God. And why I say it in this way is it's very important for us. We trust the Holy Spirit. So what manner of spirit ye are of? For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Now, why I say that tonight is what manner of spirit are Jephthah and the men of Ephraim? Well, they're in a fight. Jephthah, he says, I called out to you, delivered me not. Verse 2, I and my people were in great strife with the children of Ammon, fighting the enemy. You delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. And then look at this phrase. This is his response to them wanting to burn down his house upon him. Wherefore then are you come up against me this day to fight against me? Now, what manner of spirit are we? Men of Ephraim, brothers. Israel, Israel, right? I'm pretty sure all of you are aware that there are many differences and diversities in the body of Christ. Some churches doing well, others not doing well. Some fighting the enemy, and out of necessity, you maybe don't like the tactics that some are using, but God's called them to that, and it's accomplishing his work. Now, why I say it in that way is, what manner of spirit are ye of? Know ye not? Well, as I shepherd the flock of God that's among us, right, that's us, and I talk about the manner of spirit, let's go on a refresher course of what you were. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. So here's my decision. Wisdom from above, born from above. You hear that? born from above, right? By the Spirit of God. Born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. Second one, wisdom from above. Look at Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. Refresher course. Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world. Remember that? You remember when you as a believer walked according to the course of this world. Right? As an unbeliever. And then as a believer, what are you just fighting off? Continuing that course. Now again, since I'm not admonishing the men of Ephraim and I'm not admonishing Jephthah, they're in a fight, okay? They're in a fight. Now, what do you do when your brother's in a fight? Well, then you're in a fight. Not against him, but with him. Ephraim's like, you went into a fight with the enemy and you didn't take us with you. So we're going to fight you. Now, that's off, right? And you know it's off. And so here, again, I remind you, right, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, Jesus Christ came to save lives, not to destroy them. I believe we have one clear directive. The greater works that Jesus gave us to do, his greatest work is salvation. He still wants to continue that work through our lives. Hence, what's our work? Preach the gospel. Go forth and seek to save that which is lost. Go forth in such a way that Jesus Christ can keep saving. He'll come back in due time, and then he will correct every wrong. In fact, if you, again, refresh your course on genuine church, Romans 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, why I say this tonight, I don't want to walk according to the course of this world. Okay? Course of this world, it's being torn apart. It's by design. Shake it, pull it, tear it. So people can't be unified together to withstand. Right? Happens in the world, happens in every place. James and John, they called down fire from heaven. And what was it? Because someone was casting out demons in Jesus' name, but they weren't a part of them. So this pulls in two different directions. One, you've got to join us. You've got to join what we're doing. No, we don't. It's, again, there's such a diversity and differences in the body of Christ to know that this false unity movement that, you know, you're not supposed to be all doing together. God, it's not Team Jesus. Okay? It's Jesus. Right? Gives his spirit and places his spirit in us and calls us to go forth and make disciples. If I can show this to you, the picture is I'm the vine, right? You are the branches. That means that there should be very clearly this work that just keeps branching out and are all connected back to Jesus, but this branch doing this over here may not be doing it the same way another branch over there is doing this. But the key is to be in Christ, to be found in him. And why to say that? So that we're not operating according to Satan. You see that name, prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Or maybe your version calls them the children of wrath. Now, what am I looking at in chapter 12 of Judges? We've got the children of Israel fighting with the children of Israel. We have James 4:1. We have a battle being fought that I would say is according to the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Resolve it in your heart and your mind not to fight with your brethren. Okay? Resolve that in your heart and mind. And if you thought there were not enough unbelievers to go around for everybody, go get your own unbelievers. Right? Share the gospel with them. Get them saved. Disciple them. Okay? Or if somebody's called to a specific ministry, right? Right? My friend, together with two other pastors, we withstood the illegal actions of the Democratic vice president when he was governor of Minnesota, because he was unconstitutional. Now, you think everybody was happy with those three men? another particular pastor in California, like forced shutdowns. Everybody's shutting down, and it's this message, be nice, be kind, be Jesus-like. And he's like, listen, we're reopening on Pentecost. You should do that too. If there was ever a Sunday we should open back up, is the day that we recognize when the church started by the power of the Holy Spirit coming down to a world who didn't want Jesus then, doesn't want him now, open back up. And some then amongst the brethren says, we don't want you in our group anymore. What am I getting at for us? This thing is designed by the enemy, the prince, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Resolve it in your heart not to respond according to him, because you're not children of wrath. You're children of the light. You're children of the day. Okay? The prince of the power there was very happy to have the church be polite and kind and a weak, right, false representation. Okay? Very happy to have that. Now, among whom, this is Ephesians 3:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Where do wars and fights come from among you? These desires for pleasure that war in your members. 1 Corinthians 3, are you not therefore carnal? I wanted to speak to you as spiritual, but I couldn't speak to you as spiritual because you're carnal. For where there are envy and strifes, contentions, you're carnal and not. So what am I getting at for us tonight? Well, we need the Holy Spirit. What manner of spirit are ye of? Have you studied the Holy Spirit to see what he's like? Have you studied the spirit that was upon Christ Jesus that would say, turn the other cheek? And at the same time, would face to face say, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Again, not just to take your favorite part of Jesus, and that's the part I follow part of Jesus, but this what manner of spirit are ye of? Well, one more to turn to, and then we'll get back and wrap up the study. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, just preparing for some things, and I'll kind of give you an insight into this. The eyes of the Lord, right, that's the Holy Spirit, sent everywhere into the earth, keeping a watch on evil and good. The lamp of the Lord, right, again, they think of the lamps, the lampstands, that's oil burning, that's the Spirit of God in the church. The searching, the seeking out, in his light, walk in the light as he's in the light. Again, you catch the context of lamp and light, and that's the eyes of the Lord. The eyes are considered a lamp to let light in. And just again, that's our understanding for the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12. And I think this is the place that I offer up in these last days. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. This is the key. Born from above, wisdom from above, right? This checking this out. Not of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. You've been taught to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You've been taught that by this world. So let a man show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom, not the bigness, greatness. Okay? What manner of spirit are you of? Well, how about this? Fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. If there ever was what is needed to be understood, as lawlessness abounds, the love of many grows cold. But if you're of the Spirit of God, what is the exhortation to you? Don't let that love go cold. Keep it warm. Let's be like coals, right? And gather them together and, right? Some heat, right? So when you have a backslidden or a lukewarm Laodicean Christian, right, and you're on fire, well, it just might be that might catch, right? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Again, refresh your course for Hebrew or Romans 12. Okay, let's get on to the fight. Back to Judges 12. Wherefore you come up to fight against me. Then Jephthah, this is Judges 12:4, Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. Fought with Ephraim. The men of Gilead smote Ephraim. Evidently, they're better at talking than fighting. Right? Okay. It's important to see these things. The men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, "Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among Manassites." They're calling them escapers. They stayed and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. They didn't enter into the promised land, but they fulfilled every one of their obligations. They put their armies in front, and they went back. And even when they went back, they built this altar and said, "So in the future, your people don't come to say to us, you're not a part of Israel." This is why they are being accused of being fugitives, escaped. They've left the promises of God. Do you see wars and fights can break out amongst Christian brethren over perceptions? And just lay that forth in that way. Fugitives. And the Gileadites took the passages of the Jordan before the Ephraimites, so they're controlling the fords back across. Ephraim's on the west side of the Jordan River, and then Gilead is on the eastern side, and they capture them. The Ephraimites, which escaped, so they escaped the battle, they let me go over. The men of Gilead said unto him, "Art thou an Ephraimite?" If he said, "Nay," then they said unto him, "Say now Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not frame to pronounce it right. They picked a vowel sound that they could not pronounce. But just again, this gets me, right? Because they so closely resemble each other because they're all Israel. They're brothers. So there's no appearance, right? So again, we've got to no longer regard one another after the flesh. Right? That's that valuable warfare, 2 Corinthians 10. We all like the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We like the taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But then the question arises, do you look at things after the outward appearance? And we're not supposed to do that. Now, what I'm laying before us in this, learning from this, there's this accent, right? You know, if we're not careful, we'll make the, because we have an accent in Calvary Chapel, I don't know if you know this, I mean, we're prophecy people, right? Pre-trib, right? Rapture, right? We have an accent. We have an accent of like the Holy Spirit, and again, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that practice, we sharing the gospel, missions. I mean, we have an accent. And others in the body of Christ don't have the same accent. They can't even pronounce those things. I mean, there are those who say that the Holy Spirit stopped with his spiritual gifts, and guess what? They're still brethren. Now, why I get into that context is 1 Corinthians 12, body of Christ, plenty of diversity differences. Again, if you're a cessationist, this is not the church for you. There are other places you can go because we practice the fullness of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Every one of them is operated in here. Now, why I use this context, we have an accent. And so what they did, the Gileadites, when they were accused of escaping, they took the fords, they killed, verse 6 says they killed 42,000 Ephraimites who couldn't, they identified by their accent. Now, let me speak to us on this. There's a worldly church that's still his church. And I don't quite know who's who, nor do I have to figure that out. But when you find others who go to church and yet you're recognizing they speak after the world, their accent is worldly. Or maybe you come into church here and then you recognize, well, that cussing is an accent after the world. Or the anger, the hatred, what manner of spirit are ye of? Should we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? That's after the prince of the power of the air. So there are Christians who can be worldly and will sound like the world. Right? Now, Why I say this to us is, again, I am not teaching and admonishing and exhorting everybody else who is the worldly church. We've concentrated to not be of the world. So let's apply the test. This is what has to happen. 1 John 4. I mean, let's be honest. Our accent is Spirit-led Bible studies. That's our accent, right? We'll study the whole Bible. And the Spirit of God's going to be the teacher. And here you are on a Wednesday night in the longest month of the year. And that's what I think of August. Like, when do we get out of August? And you're on a Wednesday night, and we're going through the book of Judges. But Holy Spirit alive. Now, so let's apply the real test instead of your preference test. You know how that works? I don't like that. Not much of a test. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. They're right in your notes, book of Jude, right, and 2 Peter. You should be able to handle that. So I'm not asking any of you to accept someone of a different spirit at all. Remember, the criteria is test the spirits and see whether they're of God or not. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So, Islam says God has no son. Yep, they're not of God. Just an example. Right? Test the spirits. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the verse I want to get you to now. 1 John 4:5. Sibboleth. One of the young boys was standing in the doorway, wanted to interact with everybody. What's the password? Shibboleth. He wouldn't have known what I was talking about, but all of you who read ahead, did you pronounce it right? See, sometimes you go to church and you're just like, it's appearances, it's preferences, it's accent rather than substance. Okay? So let's test the spirits. What is this? Therefore they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Now, there's a particular platform for one of the two major political parties that says it's great to kill babies, thinking they're off in God's service. And to, again, just describing these things, you have to test what? You have to hear these things. Okay? This isn't about preferences. You have to hear the Spirit of God. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears, God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I am deliberately not telling you what to believe and think and what you have to do. Do you know why? Then I fail you. If I have to tell you, this, and then again, you have to concentrate on the Spirit of God. What manner of spirit are we? Well, I think that the key is to be of the Spirit of God and to hear his voice, see what he shows you, and that's how you test this and you know this. Shibboleth or Sibboleth? Jephthah reigned for 6 years. So what manner of spirit were the Gileadites and the Ephraimites? Well, they destroyed life. Okay. Son of man came not to destroy, but to save. I don't know if you're harboring some sort of secret, hatred, or like you think, oh, I can't wait till judgment day when such and such group of people who don't believe that God has a son, that they're going to get destroyed. What manner of spirit are ye of? had one guy years ago joined us to pray, and he had a hard time because we were praying for the salvation of the Muslims. I'm like, help me out here. Because I think he wanted them to have fire come down from heaven now and destroy the mosque next door. You hear something like that? That doesn't agree with Scripture, does it? But what does agree with the Spirit of God is what? Who in this town has such a view to the proximity and with spiritual eyes that said, this church is praying and will continue to pray and must pray and persist to pray that God would do a work of salvation. He came to seek and save that which is lost, that the gospel could be preached. Just an example. Now, that's what manner of spirit are ye of? But you know what I'm presenting to you. I believe this city should be saved. Do I like what goes on here? Right? 18-year-old, probably, again, it's not official, but stabbing a 14-year-old to death in the park. I tried to get to the stats last week because I know that the spirit who works, this prince of the power there, destroying left and right in this city. You know it too. What's the worldly church? They're going to talk like the world. They have no help. Now, what have I exhorted us? Tune your ear not to the wisdom of philosophies of man, which is not wise, but we need the Holy Spirit, and tune your ear to the Word of God and to what the Spirit of God says, and put off the things that are of man. They won't help. I don't know if you have mental health out of your vocabulary or not yet. Shibboleth, Sibboleth. Again, just laying this out. Now, why I say that is not because I'm down, and you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm presenting to you that this world has nothing in Christ. Now, I did say I was wrapping up, so let's go on to verse 8. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and he died. Okay. Verse 8. Next judge, we have three judges in eight verses. Ibzan of Bethlehem, so probably not Bethlehem of Judah. Okay, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad and took 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. Now the word therefore, abroad, means from without. He judged Israel 7 years, then he dies at Bethlehem. Now back to James 4. Because even though we end with Jephthah, by the way, Jephthah, again, I think his name gives his testimony, he whom God has set free. Do you know the testimony of some of the guys that God uses? If you need to go back and reread Harvest again, and just God did this amazing thing. Rescued people from the pit and all the sin that they used to do. And he didn't just save them to put them on a shelf. He then called them to go and preach the gospel to others. You take like Raul Reese, for example, a man filled with anger, killed, destroyed. God saves him. Now he preaches the gospel all over the world and people get saved. Now, confounding type of stuff. James 4:4. So we did 4:1, right? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Now, do you guys, what manner of spirit are ye? Honestly, are you contentious? Anybody can get a fight with you? You watching through the news, you can pick all the stuff you don't like, and you just got this constant hatred and contention to what's going on in the world? What manner of spirit are you? If you want wars and fights, you're going to get them. 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. What did Ibzan do? Well, he took wives for his sons from abroad. The word means from without. It's literally to describe the wall. So he, again, if you think about it, that's Israel. So again, I have the impression by taking the word from abroad that he took from the world for his sons, and he sent his daughters out to the world. James 4:4. Now, what do you want to do with that? Well, here's what I want to do with that. I don't want to be of the world. Right? So John 15, 19 and 20. I always do this. I always think the Bible study is going to be short. Tonight's a short one. It's not. So John 15, 19 and 20. Well, let's get 18 in there. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This comes right after the command to love one another. These things I command you, that you love one another. After he talked about the vine and the branches. After 2,000 years, Jesus' church is quite diverse, branched out, misunderstood, practices, some stuff's added. But the heart is, are they in the vine? You have to make that, again, that decision. Are we in the vine? Are they in the vine? We should have differences, but is it the same spirit? Is it of the world or is it of Christ? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And then it's a reminder that Jesus was persecuted, you can be persecuted too. So Ibzan, in his kingdom and reign, married the world. 11, after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years, and he was buried in Ajalon in the country of Zebulun. Don't know much about him, but meaning of his name is strength. And then of his tribe, so again, it's the strength of the exalted. I'm not sure that we can learn anything from that name. But 10 years, again, you get the context there. And it's not centralized. It's not one tribe ruling over the others. It's really God working through these men. After him, and again, Deborah through women, right? If you remember from chapter 5, 4 and 5. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel. A Pirathonite judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 nephews. So back to that number of 70. Again, I believe it's a reference to the ruling number. So he did that with sons and nephews, and they rode 70 donkeys and judged Israel. Again, so the picture of peace. And then he died and was buried in the Mount of the Amalekites. And then we'll have them. So you end up with four judges here. Again, each one of them in a place of peace, reigning, judging. Again, not kings. But this last one, Abdon, his name means servile or servant or worker. He's the son of praise, Hillel, and he's from a place called Princely. So again, just what am I talking to us about tonight? Is how are we going to be in this world? Right? This learning from all that, how about we fight the right fight? Okay? Meaning, let's go out and continue to share the gospel and preach Christ and pray. Take up that weapon of prayer. Will you join me in praying to see Muslims saved? Will you join me in prayer to see Hindus saved? To see, we have pagans in town. They need to be saved. We have those of the homosexual, transgender. We have homeless. We have all kinds of, we have the cults in town. Now, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. We can learn from what happened in the book of Judges, and we can take these words from our Lord, and it really comes down to this. The commandment is love. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love. There's the manner of spirit. There's no hatred for people. That's after the manner of the Holy Spirit. Right? You hear that? Now, the real challenge is lawlessness abounds, the love of many grows cold, as I've talked to us tonight. So where this leaves us tonight is if you have some repenting you need to do between you and the Lord after operating after a different spirit, right? Or the again, not of the devil, but again, the spirit which is in you. You can have a contentious spirit as a person. Everybody can get a fight with you. Somebody looks at you, they cut you off in traffic, or they look at you wrong, or they say something. Who do they think they are? And you can have a contentious spirit. And you can find yourself contending against what God wants to be doing. Or you can have any of these things that are described: envy, hatred, jealousy. Again, it's all works of the flesh. And it will greatly affect you, right? It'll greatly affect your fight. And I am asking us as a church to pray. That's part of this simple, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for God's work in this city. It's still daylight, but it's getting real close to the trumpet sound. I don't know how you want to finish, if you want to finish on a recliner with that information in front of you, or if you, the same spirit that was upon Jesus who came to seek and save that which was lost, right, continued to the end, finished the work. So my category is, let's keep going. We need the Holy Spirit. Let's all do our part. Okay. What manner of spirit are you of? Shall we call down fire from heaven upon? I mean, you hear me talk about purpose-driven church. You hear me talk about all those things. It's not so they can be destroyed. It's so that we can be steered clear from the worldly parts of this and be filled with the Spirit and continue. Many Calvary chapels, a lot of the large ones, don't do anything with the Holy Spirit anymore. No afterglows, no laying on of hands. They teach the Holy Spirit, but their practice, I've been to conferences and they say they're going to have an afterglow, and it's like they're strangers now to the Spirit of God and the practice and waiting upon Him and doing that. So what I want to do tonight is all these things that I've said is bring us all to the same place, and to each one of us to ask for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has shown us how we can enter into afterglow through prayer. And I want to know if the Holy Spirit would speak to us tonight through a gift of the Holy Spirit. Or that maybe there would be a gift of healings or miracles. Right? Or maybe there would be prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. This is us. This is what we do. So you go ahead and stop the video. Amen. And let's just pray and let's go right into waiting upon the Lord.